Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership. And this is episode 81, Mastermind Groups for Strategic Leadership with Bob Carruthers. Leveraging peer feedback and self-mastery, how masterminds can facilitate growth, accountability, and strategic thought leadership. What this episode will do for you is help you unlock the power of mastermind groups by learning how these groups can provide a collaborative environment where CEOs and leaders can sharpen their skills and gain valuable peer insight. Sharpen your strategic thought leadership through this peer feedback by discovering how mastermind groups facilitate this by encouraging self-mastery and offering constructive feedback on evolving ideas. Enhance your personal growth and accountability by exploring how these groups help leaders set SMART goals, maintain accountability, and achieve both personal and professional growth. Help you address leadership challenges by understanding how the groups assist leaders in tackling common challenges such as hiring, recruiting, and adapting to new technologies like AI. And gain inspiration from real-world success stories by hearing insightful stories from Bob about how peer support and coaching have led to significant business growth and personal fulfillment. But before we dive more deeply into this episode, in case you're new here, consider that I created the Thought Leadership Studio podcast to help listeners improve their thought leadership skills. So whether or not you consider yourself a thought leader at this point, consider that I've come to the conclusion that the practice of strategic thought leadership is now fundamental to effective marketing and helpful in any area of positive influence. It's about leading an audience to embrace a unique perspective that gives them more value. So this podcast is designed to provide an accelerated training process. And an important part of this is having models of excellence, for which I provide interviews of people who excel in one or more areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's linked in the episode description for a summary of the episode with a curated transcript, a story and images, and additional resources and offers. In this episode, I'm excited to introduce Bob Carruthers, a seasoned CEO coach and expert facilitator of mastermind groups at Vistage Worldwide. So how do mastermind groups facilitate strategic thought leadership? Strategic thought leadership can thrive when it's driven by self-mastery, and it depends on the evolution and packaging of ideas, which can be supported through peer feedback. Mastermind groups like those led by Bob offer CEOs and executives the environment to sharpen their leadership skills, challenge their assumptions, and gain valuable insight from peers. Bob brings decades of experience as a former founder and CEO, combined with deep expertise in behavior and cognition, earning him the prestigious Chair Excellence Award 6 times. At Vistage, Bob fosters a space where leaders can both refine their own strategies and benefit from the collective wisdom of their peers. These groups not only encourage personal growth and self-mastery, but also provide critical feedback on evolving ideas, helping leaders make informed decisions and drive superior results. So without further ado, let's jump right into the interview.
Thought Leadership Studio.
So I'm your host, Chris McNeil, with Thought Leadership Studio, and I'm sitting here across Zoom with Bob Carthers, a Master Chair of Vistage Worldwide, with over 28 years of experience guiding CEOs and C-suite executives towards greater success and fulfillment. Bob excels in facilitating peer-to-peer boards where CEOs can sharpen their leadership skills, make informed decisions, and drive superior results. Beyond board facilitation, he offers individualized coaching, access to expert speakers, and connections to a global network of over 45,000 successful executives in 35 countries. And what sets Bob apart is his real-world experience as a former founder and CEO, coupled with his deep expertise in behavior and cognition as a certified emergenetics advisor and predictive index practitioner. His outstanding contributions have earned him the prestigious Chair Excellent Award 6 times, underscoring his commitment to empowering CEOs to unlock their full potential. Welcome, Bob. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm excited about being here.
Fantastic. So maybe to start with giving our listener who may not be familiar with your work or with Vistage at this point, a frame to understand where you're coming from.
Right.
Was there a pivotal moment that set you off on this path of doing this type of coaching and peer-to-peer board facilitation?
Yes, definitely. I had a company that I started. First I had 3 companies. I sold those to my management team. Then I started a company that failed miserably, and I lost a bunch of money and had to close it. It was a real ego hit. At that point, I'd been in one of these groups and I thought, well, I'm looking for another position. And I know how to build successful companies and how to, you know, be in trouble, you know, and I thought maybe there's a way I could share my knowledge with others. And so I reached out to my past Vistage, or it was tech then, but my past Vistage chair, and asked him if they were looking for anybody. And they just happened to be looking for somebody in Denver. And I hired on and been doing it ever since.
Excellent.
That was in 96.
Excellent. So that's an interesting concept to me, having been a member of and led various mastermind groups over the years. And as we were discussing before we started recording, I'm familiar with the mastermind concept, and I know this is not exactly the same thing, but one of the things I really liked about it was for founders and entrepreneurs. Right. You know, there's many of those in our listener base who can probably relate to this. You don't necessarily have a board of directors to report to. You don't have anyone to be directly accountable to. You're it.
That's it.
But you miss a lot by not having that. And by having this kind of peer board that can replace the function of a board of advisors or board of directors, as well as what other kinds of benefits, or can you play off of that and help fill out our idea of what this group could do for someone?
Sure. It's a group of up to 18 people. Usually we'll have 14 to 16 in the room at that number. And they throw things out to each other that are challenges, or the concepts they're thinking about, or ideas they have, whatever. It could be an issue in their personal life. You know, marriage might not be working out, or kids in trouble. You know, it can be anything. And the group has been together a while, so they trust each other a lot. It's a group where confidentiality is everything. We don't share what goes on in that room. And so the person that's got the topic will throw it out to the group. Then we'll ask a lot of questions to see if we really understand it. And then we go around the room and give, you know, opinions on, you know, what they're thinking or experiences they might have had in this area or ways to just help them be better. We say Vistage is where you go to get your answers questioned.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Nice play on words.
Yeah.
Do you find in these groups that a group mind or an identity of a group thinking coherently as a whole develops over time?
It does. When you start a brand new group, the groups I have been going a long time. So when we bring in a new member, they tend to get right in there and go. They'll come in, they'll spend a day with us. They'll watch how we work. We'll get to see that person work and share ideas. And then we will we'll decide if we think they're a fit for the group. And then we ask that person if they think they're a fit. And they're ready to go. If usually they say absolutely. And they hit the ground running. I think once they've seen the vulnerability in the group and the type of things going on, first they go, I thought I was the only one that had these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they it's a safe place. You know, I think my job is a space to make magic happen.
So oh, I like that.
And it's so true.
So what are the requirements of facilitating a group like that to allow that space to make magic happen? How would someone do that well versus not?
Well, we go through a lot of training when we're hired on with a company. And then it's just experience. You know, it's just doing it for a long time and knowing, you know, you gotta stop side talking, you gotta, if somebody's going on, and you gotta stop that. And of course, politely, the group has to, we call it carefrontation. They have to be honest with the other members and throw out things that they're thinking that the person presenting, you know, might be going down the wrong path, mm-hmm. or they're going to get in trouble or whatever. So they just build trust, you know, and I sit back and all I really do is call on the people to make their comments and listen to what's going on and interject if I have to, you know. All my thoughts, I usually do it at the end of the discussion.
So facilitate with a light touch might be one principle.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
And it seems like that kind of thing can gain a life of its own, an identity of its own, and mm-hmm. you have to leave, like mentioned, leave room for that.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of problems to solve or opportunities to take advantage of usually drive the motivation behind an executive, CEO, founder joining such a group?
Mm-hmm. Well, the most common issues we're hearing now is hiring, finding the right people for their companies is a task.
Sure.
No, it's hard. And it's also about hiring practices. What could I do better? What do you guys do? That kind of stuff. It's always about growing the business, you know, or a problem that might have arisen that they need help with. It just can be anything. Can be anything. I had breakfast with a past member today, and when he first came to me, he just had an idea for a company. And today he was telling me that his company is doing about $3 million in EBITDA a year. So
excellent.
It's incredible. And just to see where he's gone and how he did it. And he was in the group for a number of years. And he wants to put more people from his company in other groups that we have.
So one
piece of the puzzle is, of course, the challenges we have in hiring and recruiting and training. That's everywhere. That's a big one. But is it not just a general atmosphere of filling in our blind spots that we have as leaders?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the duty of the group, is to help each other see their blind spots and deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of opportunities coming. AI is going to be huge. And these companies are already incorporating AI into a lot of the stuff they do, some more than others. So it's dealing with that too, you know, and there's blind spots around that.
Well, there's an interesting topic. And as much as you can share, and I know you have to keep certain things confidential from the group, but what kind of ideas are emerging around AI?
Well, we also bring speakers into these meetings. So we've had a couple speakers come in and talk about it and show us what's going on, the bots that are being developed for it, that can save you a lot of time and work in things. So they're incorporating it in everywhere from managing their fleet, you know, of trucks to just writing better emails, having people that couldn't write doing emails. And now they've got ChatGPT and they correct their email. And it's amazing how many of the CEOs have said, this is awesome. You know, this guy is worth a lot more than that. And it's also about writing manuals or procedures, procedures. It's all over the board. I have one company that is in software development, and he uses it to write code and check code to be sure that it's workable. And that saved him a ton of time.
Yes, I found ChatGPT can really expedite coding projects.
Yes.
Used the right way. It seems to have a limit as to how much you can ask it to do at one time. But if you can chunk your project down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love we're talking about filling in blind spots. And of course, a lot of us, AI is so new. We all have blind spots about what it's capable of because we just don't know yet. It's
That's
changing
right.
So fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall... reading about a seminar that an author I like used to give, and he would give it a typical setting of a hotel conference room.
Right.
And with exercises he would have the group do is to write down everything they remembered about the hallway coming into the conference room. Seems simple-minded.
Yeah.
But here's what happened from that. Then he would put it all up on a board and have people compare to each other. And what they quickly learned that no matter how much somebody noticed, any given person in the group, every single one noticed something that they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's description was complete.
Right. Right.
And it's just a wide variance of a situational awareness with different levels of detail. But the principle people came out of that with was that everybody's worth listening to because everybody has information that you don't in some way that you can offer to help you achieve what you're working to achieve.
Right.
Now, how have you seen that dynamic play out? Do you have any stories you can share? Maybe not mentioning names or, you know, obscuring the things that could be private, but enough to tell our listener what they could expect in participating in such a group.
You will get your answers questioned. You will see your blind spots. You may hear things you don't want to hear, but it's done in a caring way. Mm-hmm. You know, we love and respect each other. So we don't say anything hurtful, but we help point out a blind spot that the person may not even know they have.
Mm-hmm.
Just one topic I had a guy presented, he wanted to do a bonus to his people. You know, he was thinking about paying $300,000 in bonuses at the end of the year. And it was more than he could afford, for sure. And so he threw that out to the group and the advantages and then disadvantage, he thought. And then we went around and then when we were doing our suggestions for him, one of the members said, here, this is what happened to me. He said, I did this once. I paid out $300,000 to employees, and I didn't get a thanks. I didn't get anything, you know. And he said, at this point in your, you know, your growth, I would avoid it, you know. And the member presenting said, wow. He said, that cost me, just saved me $300,000 from that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we have the idea that money is the primary motivator of employees. Right. But right. Then when you see surveys of the actual employees, it's usually around number five or six.
Right.
After right. things like recognition and the opportunity to be creative in their work and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they employees can get entitled to, you know, well, I got $300,000 this year. I'm going to get it next year.
Yeah, sure.
And that's not true for most part.
Absolutely. So you also do coaching, individual one-on-one coaching. Is that right?
Yes. With the CEOs I work with, and they're, you know, they're founders and they're entrepreneurs and they're professional CEOs. I coach each one of them individually once a month for about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And it's all the people are from Denver, so I do it in person. So I'll drive to their office or to a restaurant where we can have a, you know, a quiet discussion, wherever they choose. And then we sit and talk. And they just, several of them just use it to voice what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just they want to hear themselves say it. And then when they do that, they realize how goofy it could be or how they could tweak things. And then I just ask questions. I listen and ask questions. I watch body language. And we have a deep conversation for anywhere from should I divorce my wife? To should we go down another path in the business or anything? It can be, one guy was, he said, you know, you're the first one to hear this, but I've got stage 4 liver cancer. And I'm not going to be around very long. And so we talked about that. And that discussion went on each coaching session for about 5 months until he passed away.
That's tough.
You know, I'm so honored to be let into people's lives at that level. It's just, it's an honor for me.
Yeah, the coaching relationship certainly can be an intimate relationship because it requires mm-hmm. that kind mm-hmm. of openness.
Right.
To really have the leverage to. What are some of the themes that you've noticed in terms of the structure the coaching takes or the needs people come to coaching with that you've seen as a pattern amongst different leaders that you think might be systemic?
I had one member, I was still coaching her, that her company had been bought by a PE firm. They'd been owned by a PE firm. They sold them to another PE firm. And the culture just didn't fit. And it was driving her crazy. So we had a lot of discussions on how she could handle that. You know, what does she see that's important? Should she even stay at the company? I mean, all over the place. And eventually she left the company.
Well, you help get people clarity sometimes. I like the sounding board concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly is a noticeable difference to try to organize your ideas solo as yeah. opposed to articulate them to someone and have a sounding board.
Right.
Exactly. So the sounding board function seems to be one theme in the coaching relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the openness being part of that. So if you had to contrast somebody who's in one of these groups, one of these peer-to-peer groups, and is also getting coaching with an equivalent person in business who is not getting those benefits. What would be the distinction? What kinds of things would you look for in terms of benefits and performance from somebody who's applying these things?
It would depend on the individual. You know, each one is unique. What could I say? Over time, they become happier. Their wives or their husbands will say, "Thank you. You saved my marriage." I've heard that a few times. The kids, you know, they become better spouses, better fathers, better mothers, just because they can get their head straight, you know, about balancing all this stuff. There's just a lot of benefits. So I see them become happier, grow in their abilities in their business. The companies will grow faster, you know, about, I think we're like four times faster than the average company.
Four times faster.
Yeah.
That's amazing and not surprising at the same time.
And it's just between, you know, we bring in the speakers, between what they learn there, what the group does for them, and then the coaching, it's like a trifecta that just helps them grow faster.
That's excellent. So the accountability loop function, how do you manage that? Do you have your clients or do the members of the group set goals that the group helps hold them accountable to or track their progress in? Is that part of it? Because I've been in mastermind groups where that's a primary function and others where it's not discussed at all. It's more just like brainstorming and support. Right. Where do you see the right balance of such things?
Well, as far as goals go, we present our goals to the group in January for the year. And then every quarter, they will meet with a breakout group and go over their goals, you know, and talk about them. And the other members will question them and see if their thinking is straight and what they're doing. As far as account, and they hold them accountable when they get back together again. First thing they're going to ask is, "What'd you do about that? You know, you said you would." And then in the group discussions, we actually have a three-ring binder with a little form that presents who presents the issue or the topic, what they're going to do, and by when. And it's written in the book. And the next meeting, we come back and say, "What'd you do?" If it's committed to do it by the next meeting, which is usual. And we'll just ask them and follow them. And if they didn't get it done or they get part of it done, we'll keep that page open and they keep getting asked about it.
So is that totally on the onus of the person setting the goal, or does the group or you in the coaching capacity help them shape their goals or help pull goals out of them and make them more crystallized and solid and measurable?
It can be both. You know, the group can help them do that. I help them do that in coaching. And we talk about their goals and, you know, help them really decide if they're achievable or not, and, you know, if they're smart goals and whatever. So it's a little bit of everything.
Well, goal setting is such a broad topic, but it's always helpful to be reminded of the principles of good goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so for our listeners, what would be the principles of good goal setting from you, from your experience in this setting?
Well, smart goals. They have to be specific. They have to be achievable. They have to be, see if I can remember all these. They have to be time-based.
Mm-hmm.
They have, what's the M?
Measurable.
Measurable. Yeah, good. Absolutely measurable. And R is realistic.
Yeah, the right size chunk. You know, to me, it's like tuning a guitar. If the goal's too big a jump, then it's like having a guitar string tuned so tight it makes no noise.
Yeah.
But if it's too easy, it's just like a string that's just loose and floppy, will also make no noise. You only get the music when it's at that perfect tension.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, enough of a stretch
mm-hmm.
so that you have a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you've chunked down your long-term goals so that next step has a high probability of success. Right. You can see yourself doing it. And it becomes a confidence building process that way. So when you have a goal, you build your confidence, you focus it on the next goal.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some examples of some types of goals that have been really meaningful and empowering in such a setting?
Well, we want it to be things they can actually influence. You know, if for a CEO, they can influence anything. But if it's, we're going to make $50 million this year, it's really not the CEO that's out working in the plant. Mm-hmm. It's how he's going to manage those people to accomplish that goal. So we'd look at the things he should be, we'd help him decide what tasks he needed to do to keep the team on task. You know, who should he be holding more accountable? Who's the person he should appoint to lead the charge? I mean, all kinds of things.
Or more leadership activity type goals rather than outcome goals, so to speak.
Yeah. And we also emphasize personal goals. You know, you can't leave your personal life at home.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you working? Why are you doing this company? It's to enhance your wealth and give you a better life. You know, it's not just for fun.
Sure.
And so those personal goals are incredible. I mean, some of them are, I'll do a date night with my wife every week. You hear that one quite a bit. Or I'm going to lose, you know, 20 pounds by March 30th. Or, you know, it's all over the board. It's we're going to take two vacations this year. You know, it's that kind of stuff. And they zero in on that. The other members will say, have you made your reservations for your vacation?
You know, there you go.
Things like that. Mm-hmm.
So then you have that group support. And one thing I noticed in when I first started being in such groups, and there was a brilliant guy named Ray Waits, and he's still around. He's retired from this kind of thing now. He used to run mastermind type groups, including training in leadership, time management, and effectiveness and such things. And I took his program. His staff was in my fitness program at the time, on fitness business at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to talk about your dreams to a group of peers who would believe in them,
mm-hmm.
who would see your goals and say, yeah, I could see you doing that.
Right, right.
And then you have that whole thing. And I think Napoleon Hill wrote extensively about mastermind groups. How Edison mm-hmm. and Henry Ford were in Carnegie, were in a mastermind group.
Right.
And it was about a unified mind of belief mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. other people's goals. How do you see that role of the group adding belief to accomplishment for the members?
Well, they are very encouraging. You know, they do believe in the member and what he says he's going to do. And they do believe in helping guide him, you know, or help him turn a different direction when they think he's going the wrong way.
Yes.
No, and it's my preference for members is somebody, an entrepreneur that's doing something different in their company. They're definitely going a different way. I love entrepreneurs and I love people that are trying to rock the boat. You know, so we have several people that are on that track.
Yep. Yeah, that's been my lifelong path, entrepreneurism. As a mm-hmm. contrarian thinker who can look at just about any field and think of something that should be different. And then there are those of us who have the boldness to bring these things to market and mm-hmm. test them out.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you can be premature with an idea
mm-hmm.
or you can not really have honed your idea against the current offerings in the marketplace that are competitive with it to make sure it stands out in the criteria. And those are things I imagine that being in a peer group who can question
mm-hmm.
your vision in a positive way to help you refine it could be mm-hmm. really helpful.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. They can listen to it and ask questions about it and bring up things that the entrepreneur is not seeing, you know, help them dodge bullets and guide them along the way.
There you go. Yeah, better to steer away from areas of high bullets or walking across heavily trafficked interstates. If you know a different way to your goal, it would be better.
Right.
Well, this has been very interesting, Bob, and helpful. And certainly to our listener, I found extreme benefits. Now, I've not done Vestiges program, but I've been in various mastermind and peer groups, peer entrepreneur type peer groups, and it is a tremendous benefit. It's hard to imagine, you know, going a long length of time without plugging into that kind of peer support, shared vision,
right,
group mind building of support, and the motivation of being in the feedback loop with peers, as opposed to, you know, running your organization or even being a solopreneur. Not having these feedback loops with peers there at all, really, you know, check your thinking processes and help you fill in your blind spots. It's fascinating.
It makes it a very lonely job.
Absolutely does. So I honor what you do. And to the listener, I'm going to link to Bob's information, to Vestiges' website, on the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. So if you're listening on an app, the link to that episode page is in the description. Okay. So Bob, we usually wind up these interviews two ways. The first is to ask you, speaking to our listener, what are the top three things you would recommend they do to advance their leadership, their thought leadership, their businesses, based on your perspective?
Okay.
And the second question is, how would someone get a hold of you? If they're listening to this thinking, I need to reach out to Bob, find out more about Vestige, how would I do that?
Yeah, just let me say that Vestige is in every city in the country. So if you're interested in joining, you contact me and I'll put you in touch with who to talk to about it. Or you can go to our website. They've got a space where you can do that too. So that's not a problem. You're in Charleston. I think we have several chairs in Charleston.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then I'll say, what was the other part?
The top three things that you would recommend our listener do to further their leadership and success based on your perspective.
Culture trumps everything. You have to build a strong culture in your company. You know, that influences your hiring, the way you deal with your customers, the way you deal with each other in the company, and it's the way you get things done. So, and core values are huge, as a huge part of that. I'd say adopt core values. If you're leading the company, it's got to be the things you believe in. You know, you don't go out to I've seen it not as successful if they go out to the employees and have the employees come up with them. You know, and it's really in the way you define. Another one is, don't run out of cash. If you run out of cash, you're dead. And it doesn't take very long when you can't make payroll to be gone. So that's another one. Watch your key indicators. They're going to tell you what's coming down the line. They'll tell you the past, but if you develop the right kind, they'll be very predictive and help you stay with those and mind them. And if you see in the future that the revenue is dropping off over time, and let's say a trailing 12 months thing, you've got time to act. Do something about it. Those are just a few.
Excellent advice. Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I've had a lot of fun. Those are great questions. You really made me think.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, and this has been Episode 81, Mastermind Groups for Strategic Leadership with Bob Carruthers, where we discuss topics like where you go to get your answers questioned. creating a cohesive group mind, the art of facilitating with a light touch. AI and blind spots, the evolving landscape of leadership in the digital age. Challenging assumptions, the value of honest feedback in leadership growth. And the trifecta of growth, peer groups, coaching, and expert insights on leadership. Again, thanks again for listening. And if you're listening on an app, make sure you click the link to the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. It's in the episode description, where you'll have links to Bob's resources like the Vistage website and Bob's page on LinkedIn, and also some free resources like The Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, a free instant download PDF to help you organize the building blocks of your own thought leadership. And I've got a book coming up called Strategic Thought Leadership. And you can find out more about that and register for a free preview at strategicthoughtleadership.com, which I will also link to in the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. Again, I'm Chris McNeil, your host. Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio, and I look forward to seeing you at the next episode.
Thought Leadership Studio.